Let the heart speak, but talk cheap. Now more than ever, they driving us to wherever, and we strapped in the car.
Community Radio Fund of Canada's Radio Meters Program.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiyam, Nisiyaya, and the Skakuya, Talitin, Homasquim, Mustail.
Hello, you're currently listening to the Orca Man podcast on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia.
Well, especially with this one, like, because it's for funsies, I also just did not do that at all. There we go, a little bit better. My lighting's also going to be terrible, so
yeah.
Oh, chilling. Okay, so I guess we're starting. But hello, everybody. It's Fred, the Orca Man. How's it going? This is going to be the start of maybe a series, maybe not, maybe just tonight. Maybe we'll see what going forward. But I'm here with Erica from Breaching Extinction. I'll let her introduce herself.
Howdy, I'm Erica. I host another podcast called Breaching Extinction, and it's all about the southern resident killer whales that are an endangered population. I live in Monterey, California. I got a cute dog named Peaches. That sums it up in a nutshell. Work on boats, whales, dogs, alcohol.
Yes. So the deal with tonight, we each have, do you have your bottle of wine? Yes, there we go. Okay. So I gotta say, I keep on telling everybody, it's like my favorite thing ever is, I think it was like 2 or 3 days ago, you were like, okay, so drinking and talking about whales on Monday. I'm like, that's the best text I think I've ever received.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Podcasts are a lot of fun when you're drinking and talking about animals.
Oh yeah.
So
it makes it much better.
I don't know how drunk we end up getting, and I don't know where this conversation is going to go, but we might have to go back and maybe don't take this episode so seriously with the facts.
No, that's fair. That's a good way to start it out. This is going to be more, this is the equivalent of the peanut gallery. This is commentary.
Okay, what are your thoughts on just whales? You know what? I've kind of been thinking about whales and like which whales are my favorite and not okay. My favorite. And like orcas were my favorite for a while, but humpbacks are definitely my favorite now because I saw a gray whale predation like a few weeks ago. Like, wow, okay, like, you guys are kind of really rude, but, like, that's awesome. Which I, like, knew, because orcas like to play with their food and everything, but I was like, Jesus Christ, like, this is, like, some next level, like, savage, like, acting out here.
Yeah, it's something special. People don't really talk about when you see killer whales, you know, go properly ham on a mother and calf. It changes your view a little bit.
Like, wow. Like, respect, but also, like, wow.
Like, damn, bro. You're really coming in here, like, mugging the hell out of these other ones. So, why humpbacks over... So, they attacked a gray whale. Why humpbacks are your favorite now? Why did they switch?
Well, I think I've just spent a lot of time with them in Monterey. So, I work on whale watch boats, and we've had a lot of, like, friendly humpbacks. So, what that means is basically, like, we'll be hanging out, watching some humpbacks, and then they, like, start coming in closer to us. So, we, like, shut our engines off, and we just let them do their thing. And mm-hmm. they'll come to us and, like, say hi. And, like, I've played hide and seek with humpbacks so many times. Game, but they're so bad at it because they're so predictable. It's like they go under the boat and then they come on one side and then the other. Same thing, but that's okay. We don't need to let them know that they're bad at hide and seek, but it's lots of fun. But they, like, humpbacks are kind of badass. Like, we've seen them trying to protect, like, seals and baby whales from orcas, and it's actually interesting. I don't know if humpback whales are petty or caring or what the situation is, because yeah. Apparently a few, like, I think some guy told me it was like 2017, there was a gray whale predation here in Monterey, and like 6 humpbacks were like on top of the already dead calf. Like, they were on top of this carcass and they were not letting the orcas get it. And so, like, I don't know if they were still like, we're still going to protect you. Like, this principle was a justice thing, or if it was petty. My captain thinks it's petty. He's like, humpbacks are just trying to steal orcas' lunch. They're just bullies. Like, I don't know.
Well, also, the only thing I can imagine, because from what I've heard too, you see on the predation, I've only seen so many, like, even just online, but the mothers will, like, go up and hold the calves on the back. I can only imagine the seals are just like, it's fucking raft. It's like, we could use that. It's the closest thing to an island around.
Literally, there's this one boat down here, and I'm, like, convinced that they're obsessed with this, like, particular boat. It's Sea Goddess is the name of the company down here, but they have this big boat, and, like, the amount of times that I've heard about, like, sea lions trying to, like, jump on the side of that boat, or seeing pictures of them, like, hauling them, like, trying to get on the side of the boat to avoid the orcas is ridiculous.
Oh, damn. That's special. They're the big brothers. Orcas are the bullies.
Yes.
Well, that's the thing about orcas, though. It's right. Like, that's my one of my favorite parts is, like, they're not all the same. So, like, residents won't go, like, mess up a gray whale's day. So there are degrees to the species, to say the least, with that.
Yeah, they're definitely, like, just, like, within human culture as well. Like, behavior is, you know, what they do. Culture is how they do it. But, you know, the residents, they will fuck up a porpoise's day. And, like, we have a couple pods of transients here, California transients, that will just fuck up bird's day. And they, like, taught other transient pods. Like, and it's not every transient pod. It was, like, this specific pod. I think it was the CA-150 bees or something like that.
Stands for bitches.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, here, let me show you how to fuck up this bird's day. And, like, I was like, sure. Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
Play to it.
It's just funny. Like, I mean, it's not, because, like, those other animals are probably like, no, help. And some people think that, like I've heard some people say that, like, when the orca or when the residents, like, play with harbor porpoise, that, like, they don't mean to kill them, but, like, how would we know that? We could never know. Like, there's no way we could know if they were intending to kill it or not. They definitely don't eat it, but, like, they play with it to death.
That's fair. I don't know why my fucking microphone is doing the worst.
The worst?
Yeah. I heard a part of that, though. I heard the first part. People, what is it that people think? I'm not going to touch it anymore.
They think that porpoises... or when they kill the porpoises, that sometimes they're not meaning to kill them. And I'm like, how would you know? And, like, or maybe orcas are petty too. I don't know.
I could see orcas being petty. I could see orcas, like wanting a smack at something. Like, I feel like orcas, when they're going after a porpoise or, like, a bird, it's like a piñata. Like, you don't want to be the one necessarily to break it, but everybody wants to take their swing just for the funsies. Like, it's like something like that I could see.
Okay, I just had, like, a thought, because all the time I think about, like, what makes humans different than animals.
Yeah.
And, like, I, like, this whole time, like, I've been thinking it's, like, exploitation and, like, whatnot. But mm-hmm. maybe, or, like, senseless exploitation of the environment.
Sure.
Maybe are senselessly exploiting the environment. So maybe it's not unique to humans and we're more similar than we think.
We are. We just do it on a bigger scale.
It's, who knows?
Yeah.
Weird, man. When I was like out there with the watching the predation, and then we did have one humpback like come in and like try to like mess with the orcas a little bit. Like it wasn't very successful because there were like 15 orcas and there was one humpback, and
yeah,
it just kind of like hovered over the carcass for like, it was like an evening that we were out there just like for like an hour or so, and then went away. But I was like, it's a whole different world out there. Like it's a whole other world. Like there's things going on and dynamics that are like crazy complex.
I like nobody's seen nearly enough consistently to actually like have a clue. Like people have ideas, but they're just that, they're ideas. Every paper that's created, if you have somebody spend their life with a gray whale or humpback, everything would change in my head.
Yes.
Everything would change. Okay, this needs to be brought up. Where did you get the orca suit? For those of you who are listening on audio right now, you're wearing a full-on orca. It's not a onesie.
It is.
Oh, it is? Oh, damn.
Yes. I got this on Amazon.
Nice.
Amazon, gross. But, like, there have just been a couple times because I had an orca costume for the Orca Demise music video. And then my friend was moving and I left it at her house and she lost it in the move. And I was like, well, there have been multiple times where I just need an orca suit on deck. So thanks, Amazon. And I go out frequently with world renowned photographer and pedestrian Dane McDermott. And I've worn this on his boat.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely. Okay. It's Dane. It was terrible. On a podcast recently, I was talking with, I think, Michaela, and I called him Dan, or she called him Dan. And I was literally listening to it today and went, oh yeah, the E is silent. I'm like, no, it's definitely Dan. And I just fucked it up.
Silent. Oh no. Yeah. No. He was like, yeah, Fred thinks my name is Dan. And I was like, he also thinks Peach's name is Princess. So.
Oh shit. Right. Yeah. Damn. Sorry.
It happens to the best of us.
Is Peaches a dude or a female?
Peaches is a female.
Okay. She is a princess.
She is a princess. This is her little, like, this is her little princess bed right here.
Oh, that's adorable. Is it Kirby themed?
this is just a cat head.
Oh, okay.
Sleeps in.
I like it.
She's very spoiled. She gets, like, everything that she wants. My life just, like, revolves around this dog and whales, and that's it.
Those are two pretty good things. Peaches seems lovely.
Yeah.
She's okay.
A lot.
Yeah. The number one animal that you don't want to jump in the water with, who is it? In the water, specifically.
Water. Let me see. Probably, definitely a polar bear, for sure.
You know what? Fair. I didn't think about polar bears.
They can move. Because they're freaking gnarly, man. They're so cool, but they're so gnarly. They like, so in Churchill, Manitoba, Canada, that's like the polar bear capital of the world. They literally have a polar bear jail there for polar bears that want to come down and that need to be like tranquilized and put in jail for a couple days. And what they do is they like starve them because they don't want to give them food. They don't want to incentivize them coming back. And then they like take them off into the wilderness. And like everybody in Churchill leaves their house doors unlocked and their car doors unlocked because
just in case.
Yeah, could just approach at any time. So they're like,
that's fucking terrifying.
So that's the thing. And I remember talking to one of the guys that worked at the polar bear jail, and he told me that one time, I know, right? It's insanity that so it was mom, and I think she had two babies.
Uh-huh.
And they had to take them somewhere. And what they decided to do was to drive mom, and they took the two babies in a helicopter for whatever reason. I can't remember the reason. And the babies started to wake up as he was flying the helicopter.
And
he said there was another time where like a polar bear, like, so there was like they have these big ass trucks because, like, you know, they're like park service, stuff like that. They have all the, like, you know, the whole thing, whatever.
Yeah.
Huge fucking dent on the front of one of the cars. And they were like, what's this from? Like, it was like, I was there with like a bunch of other like 16-year-olds at the time. We're like, wow, bears. We're like, what's this dent from? And he was like, oh, like we had a bear like charge our car once and like the truck and left a huge ass dent. So a polar bear is not, there's no chance. There's no chance.
Fear. That's terrifying. Mm-hmm. That's terrifying. For me, it's a hippo.
What?
Hippo.
Hippo? Oh, hippo yes.
Scare the shit out of me. Had they, there's this one video of like a pontoon boat moving and then you can see the hippo like go up and then go underneath and come up with its jaws. And that just, the idea, I think a polar bear tearing me apart would be worse.
Right.
But the idea of a hippo chomping down on me is more terrifying.
Fair. Yeah. I feel like with a polar bear, like you could maybe bleed out faster. And so that could be,
maybe that's very maybe. Fair that's
and then at that point like you know that polar bears are endangered so you're like contributing to saving an endangered species so.
there you go you're offering your life up for a good cause
exactly yeah it's worth
all right second person idea for the killer whale thing have you seen in the killer whale shows where they like jump off of the whale and then like fly
like at SeaWorld
yes like parks.
Where do they fly to?
They don't. So the killer whales don't fly. Like so the people, the trainers, they stand on the nose of the whale, and then they like bring them up, and then when they jump out of the water, like the people shoot further than the whales do. So like the people, like it's like a slingshot almost, and they just and they fly over the tank, and then they like dive back into the tank, and the killer whales go a little bit before. It's called a hydro. Those things are fucked. But like someone had to learn that. Someone had to be like, hey, like let's work together and try to like come on.
Like, I wanna say I don't understand how we got to this point, but like I see people do dumb shit even now.
Fair.
Like in the wild. And I'm like, girl, no. Don't understand like the oh my god just like the history of like animal ethics and animals in captivity and like
oh, how yeah.
we animals like there's so much I'm like holy shit you didn't know and you're gonna try to jump off a fucking killer whale I mean okay but also they're at the point where they're gonna jump off a killer whale they probably built enough trust
yes 100% 110% they know the whale and the whale knows them.
Yeah, so if I view it like it's peaches, and obviously I'm not going to do a flip off of peaches because she's like, that will not work out. But like, I could see how, like, if you did build a certain level of trust with an animal, how those steps could be taken. You could be like, I'm going to jump off this whale. Like,
we're
going to
try going a little bit higher and a little bit higher and a little bit higher. Fair.
That's insane. I think I remember because, so I got my start like in a zoo and then I like worked at some aquariums and I remember like a lot of people wanting to be like SeaWorld trainers.
Mm-hmm.
I like went to this like animal training course once in college. It was super interesting, but I remember everyone talking about how hard it was to be a SeaWorld or a trainer at SeaWorld and how they have like, or a dolphin trainer in general. Like there's like a certain stuff that you have to pass of like physical tests that you have to pass.
100%.
It makes sense, but I'm just like, damn.
It's fucked.
No wildin'.
Nah, honestly, it's wildin'. No bull, though. Like, the reason that I didn't become, like, I was in my head, I was like, I'm gonna be a SeaWorld trainer. That's the move. And the reason I shouldn't do that with the wine bottle in my hand, that makes it look way worse. The reason that I'm not training with the apex predator of the ocean. But sincerely, when they took the trainers out of the water, like I looked at the profession personally and I went, I know that what I wanted was to build a nearly complete relationship with one of the animals. Like that was what I really wanted to do.
Right.
And so I was after that finished, I was like, I'm okay.
I'm okay. Interesting. So what are your thoughts on captivity then?
I think orcas in captivity are, I don't think orcas should be in captivity. I think orca captivity in general is not okay, nor, should continue. Now, that being said, there's a couple different things. One of my most famous videos on TikTok right now is like I basically, it's a back and forth between two people, but anybody that says like, oh my God, we should just free all the killer whales at SeaWorld, I'm like, you can't do that yet. Like, there's not the place set up or anything like that. So I have a lot of trouble with the idea of defund all of the parks. That really, like, it's harder for me, if only because I'm like, SeaWorld's paying to keep those whales alive, whether you like it or not. There's there's not like an external like caretaker for the whales. So I'm like, I would like the whales to live the best life that they physically can in whatever way is possible. And right now that's the only one. So
yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Lori Marino,
Whale Sanctuary Project.
Yeah, Whale Sanctuary Project. She just like launched that not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
So like hopefully there will be options soon.
Yeah.
Because that's another option. But like also like SeaWorld is like a like I don't know if they got millions or they got billions, but they got something. They probably got millions. Like, and I don't think those like, and here's the thing, is like they could make some like, if they really gave a fuck like about the whales and they're like, and them living a good life in captivity, they could make like bigger tanks. Like they could, there's Facts. A lot of they could do, but like
100%,
they have enough money to keep doing what they're doing now.
Well, that's like, the whole thing is like, when you start talking about captivity and crap, like you need to talk profits, if only because that's the language that they're going to speak. Also, the one thing that I realized recently, I didn't understand this completely about the states or like capitalism in general, like companies are just owned by bigger companies. So like SeaWorld isn't its own thing. Like I'm pretty sure it at one point was owned by like Anheuser-Busch, which does Budweiser.
Yes.
And yeah, so like,
there.
Say it again.
They have those horses, those Clydesdales, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking different.
That's
but like, yeah.
Damn. I mean, but also, okay. So I feel like maybe I'm coming off a little judgmental about the like people getting in the water and doing this and that. Like we did have to start somewhere. And if you knew nothing, like I could see how like decisions were made that led to what happened. Like not saying that it's at all justified, like because it was for profit and not for research in the beginning. Well, it was for research in the beginning.
No, right? No. The very, very beginning. No. So like, I know this is like an area that I have a little bit of credit. I'm very happy about this. So like the origins of orca capture and like interaction, it was very specific because like when it started, Ted Griffin was just like a dude who wanted a pet whale. Like that's at the end of the day, he really just wanted a relationship. He had an aquarium set up. So like when he was able to purchase the whale and then figure out how to bring it down, like he formed the relationship with the whale Namu. But it was purely like he the idea of it fascinated him. It fascinated him to the same degree that to every child who watched Free Willy went like, oh my God, I want a Willy. Like I want to have that connection with an animal. And so that's where it began. And then research explicitly came from that. Like it wouldn't have happened. So like people talk about like the Penn Cove captures and when Lolita was captured, it's like in 1970 when the most whales were corralled into a singular space in the Pacific Northwest that's ever been known, like no one knew who the whales were. Like it wasn't like we were sitting down and we were like, oh my God, I know X, Y, or Z. Like no, it was a bunch of whales.
Right. Yes. True. It's interesting. Like, yeah, it's like, it's messed up, like how things went down. And I like, but even so, yeah. Like, oh, I don't know. Cause like, I wanted to be a zookeeper. Like yeah. That was my life. Like I got my start in a zoo. Like I started working in this field at age 14 and I was like, I'm gonna be a zookeeper. I'm gonna work at the Columbus Zoo for my entire life. And cool. Like all this stuff. And
hashtag
like
Ohio.
Hashtag Ohio, that's where I'm from. Cornfield. Okay. Yeehaw. Are you from, no, you're from Boston, right?
Yes, I am. But I fuck with Ohio. I like Ohio.
I fuck with Ohio sometimes. It depends.
Fair.
It's now that I don't live there, we can like be bros, you know?
So, yeah, I like that.
But yeah, so I'm conflicted about it. And like, I also had the privilege of working at like an exceptional zoo, like one of the best zoos in the country, and like they were all about education, and like that's how I got to go see the polar bear and like things
Sick.
Like, there's so many like benefits that like if you do it like how the Columbus Zoo does it, like, or like any of those really top like AZA, I'm assuming like because you know how they were ranked, but like I don't know that like they were all about conservation, education, shit like that. And I was like, I'm going to be a zookeeper because I want to work with these animals and I want to do this. And like, and then I was like, I don't actually want to like, I want to be out in the wild with them. And so I don't know. I have mixed feelings on it, but I can see how people would see the benefit of like captivity in zoos. And I'm still like, obviously the science is there to back that cetacean like captivity is not good, but like, I don't know. Like, I think there's good ways. There's ways to do it. Like Clearwater Marine Aquarium does it really well. And I always like love them. Did you ever see, what is the movie? Dolphin Tale?
Yeah.
That dolphin, the one that doesn't have a tail.
Yeah.
But they like do rescue, rehab and release. And like, they have a hospital set up and you can walk through the hospital and you can see what all these animals are doing. And then you can like they will obviously release them and you can watch surgeries, unless like sometimes I think some of the surgeries are a little more gory and they're like, oh, baptize everyone. And they don't like let you see those, but for the most part they let you see everything, which is super interesting.
100%.
And then like the only animals that they keep are ones that can't go back into the wild. So I'm like, this is how we do it. Like, they are serious education conservation. I'm like, if this is how we're doing it, this is that like they should be leading everybody else.
That's the way. That's the way we should follow that. No, more than fair. And that's the all right. So here's another question. This is a genuine one because I try to look at anything that's going on and any person that like enters into the field. I'm like, why does anybody pay for X, Y, or Z? Like the initial whales in captivity, like I'm like, okay, I get it. Even the entertainment piece, I'm like, you're bored. You're in San Diego, San Antonio, Orlando. Like you need something to do for the day. Fine. It's cheaper than Disneyland. But something like you said, the Clearwater Aquarium, a thing that fascinates me is the fact, like, veterinarians make sense because they help they help fix medical conditions within the animals that we appreciate and care about the most. So dogs, cats, whatever else. But veterinarians in the wild, or in terms of like rehabilitation, rescue, and otherwise reintroduction, like that's such a thought. It's like you walk up to whoever in the street and you're like, hey, will you give me money to go do surgery on this random this wild seal? And like it's such a weird concept in general that I'm thinking about too.
True. It is a weird concept. Thought. All of it's weird. None of it like makes sense. And all the people are so interesting. Like so interesting. I would love to study the psyche of animal people. I make also like with environmental studies because I was like, oh, I want to know animal behavior. And now I'm like, I'm so fascinated about the humans around these animals. Fair. Like, oh my God, there are so many people around orcas that I'm like, what the actual fluke? Is
oh, that's my like, phrase now.
Yeah. It is so interesting.
What the actual fluke, number one, but two, I think that's true because animal people are very specific, and there's a whole bunch of like there's a broad category. Of course there's orca people, there's like I know for a fact there's lion people, polar bear people, who gives a crap, but like animal people in general, there's a lot that we share in common.
Mm-hmm.
You want a good laugh?
Yes.
I'm looking at the calendar above my bed right now, and for Christmas this year I spent Christmas here with a couple friends, one of my roommates, and he gave me an orca calendar. And I'm just now realizing that the last day that I crossed off on it was January 20th.
Well, sometimes.
Hasn't changed. My room has changed. My room, when in January 20th, my desk was over by where the calendar is. And now I'm pretty sure anybody can see it if they're actually on the video. It's right over there. But yeah, I haven't touched that. And I never realized until right now because I was like, it's a poster. It's fine.
Yeah, true. Time flies. Time is weird. I still think it's March 2020. I don't. I like now that we're like starting to open up COVID wise, I'm like, okay, this is real time. It still doesn't feel like May though. I don't know.
It doesn't feel like May at all. That's more than fair. Say it again.
I don't know that it'll ever feel the same.
I think it will never feel the same, but it's going to feel better. Like, I know for a fact, like, personally, I'm a wildly extroverted person. So, like, I'm excited to be able to, like, bounce around to the same extent, which I haven't been able to recently. And, like, when that happens, I know for a fact there's going to be, like, a time 2 months down where I'm going to be like, holy fuck, this was insane. I can't believe I spent that much time alone, X, Y, or Z.
Dude, I feel that. I am also like painfully extroverted, like,
oh yeah,
so like 100 on the scale of like 1 to 100 of extroversion.
Mm-hmm.
So this was like super hard for me, the pandemic, and like when we started working in, I was like, thank God, because I could talk to my passengers, like,
yeah,
and like I could talk their ear off, and if they ask me a bunch of questions, I'm like thriving, or like they'll ask me questions about random stuff, like that's not even like whale related, just like things to do in Monterey, and I'm like, I'll tell you everything.
Yeah, I got you, no worries.
Yes, but no, I feel you. It's been a time, and like now I definitely like I'm making whale friends, and like things are opening up. I'm making like friends in the community, but I'm used to just like having like 20 people rotating in my like hangout group.
Yeah.
You know, like, or talk to group or whatever.
No, more than fair. I would like to say same. That being said, though, I think the pandemic has offered me at least this opportunity with the Orca Man stuff. Like, I wouldn't have done it otherwise in my head. Like, it was very specifically tailored to all of the experiences that I've had during COVID. But more than that, too, like, whether or not it's true, and I believe it is, even just from our comments earlier, it's like, I feel like if I went to Monterey, like, it would just be a good time being like, oh my God, like, I actually know people that I would genuinely consider friends down there, including yourself and Dane and the rest. Be like, oh my, like, how's it going? We could sit down for 5 hours and talk about random crap or go out or X, Y, or Z. Like, yeah. that part of it too is, it's exciting to think about, if only because I know that it will happen.
Yes. So move to Monterey, basically.
Erica, I'm not lying to you when I say that my lease here is up in August, and there's been a part of me in the back of my head that's like, why don't you just go to Monterey and hang there for a little bit? Like, that, it has existed. Don't get me wrong.
Monterey's kind of the shit, not gonna lie. I like have bopped around like since college, and even in college I was like studying abroad, bopping around, like not really staying in one place too long. And I've been in Monterey almost a year and a half, and I'm gonna keep living here as long as I can. Like, I love Monterey. Like, first of all, you don't have to leave for the wildlife. It shows up for you.
That's humpback,
huge. Orcas, blues, fins, like,
that's massive.
You just hang out, it'll show up. Like, also Big Sur, do you know what Big Sur is?
No, I'm pretty sure it's a park, but I don't know what kind.
It's the best place in the entire world. Like, it is literally my happy place, and it is like 20 minutes from my house. It's the most beautiful coastline probably in the United States. Like, holy shit, oh my God. Like, part of the reason why I would not, like, don't want to leave Monterey is because Big Sur. Like, I thought about moving to Santa Cruz, which is like
just north. Yeah.
Yeah, about an hour, but I don't want to be that far from Big Sur. But it's so gorgeous, and like, you can see whales from land. Like, Dane and I went and watched gray whales, like, from land. Like, you can go look for birds. Like, but Monterey also has like a really tight knit community. Like, now that things are starting to open up, like, every time I go out somewhere, I run into somebody that I know, and like, you know, it's like the people here are really nice. Like, I don't know, Monterey, you should move here. You have enough connections that I'm sure you could get a job. I know we're going to be looking for a naturalist at one of my companies in the near future. So that lined up, that could be cool too.
All right, Erica, I'm going to mull over that. I need to go to the bathroom real quick, but I'm going to leave the recording going, and I'll be back in like 2 minutes. Perfect. And we're going to talk even more about Monterey, because I am dreadfully interested now.
Amazing.
All right, I'll be back.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's nonprofit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
UBC's Museum of Anthropology displays long-term and visiting exhibits of Indigenous art from around the world, and guided tours are free. Our permanent collection features one of the world's finest exhibits of Northwest Coast First Nations art. Our collection includes 36,000 ethnographic pieces, 535,000 archaeological pieces, and over 600 pieces in the Kroner Ceramics Gallery. There's a lot to take in. Luckily, at the Museum of Anthropology, final exams are always take-home. If you've never checked out this world-class facility, now's your chance. The Museum of Anthropology is located right on campus and free for all UBC students and faculty. Come enjoy our collection and resources.
Okay, so Monterey.
Yes.
Erica, when I tell you that, like, I'm seriously, sincerely thinking about it, like, you have to understand, I have no fucking clue what September looks like.
Yeah.
So it's very, very, very in the cards.
Yeah. So basically, like, you've got to slow down around September. So realistically, you'd probably have to, like, work some other random job, which most everybody here does during that time, and then wait for things to pick back up. Mm-hmm. But it's worth it. And the aquarium's opening back up. I'm sure they're gonna need help too. I don't know what the deal with that is, but.
Well, I also have, like, you know, I have a bachelor's degree now. I have some pseudo skills that I feel like I could apply to places. I feel like Monterey is a relatively decent sized city that I could throw my hat into a couple different rings.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot here. The city has a lot to offer, that's for sure. It's like definitely a small town, but there's a lot of cool stuff here. There's a lot of really awesome people. Like, the community, like, outside of the whale community, just Monterey community is, like, a very cool, awesome community. Like, people are relaxed, people are open, like, that's very awesome. Calm. So, yeah.
No, that's impressive. That's one of the things, because, all right, so I'll ask you first. Where did you go to college?
University? I went to college in St. Pete, Florida.
Where?
Eckerd College. It's a small
liberal. So neat. Like St. Pete Beach sort of deal?
Yeah, St. Pete Beach, yes.
I've been there.
Amazing.
Yeah, I went there for my uncle's wedding. I have a buddy that's studying down in UTampa right now, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, nice. I've been jealous. He's been going to clubs lately. Florida's special.
Like, when I moved to Washington, I was like, why is everyone sober? Like, because I came from
fair.
I was a little bit, and then Florida, and I was like, everyone should just, like, be drunk, right? Like, all the
That's
time.
How it works. That should be how it works. No, because it's more than fair.
Yeah. No, Eckerd was, like, the best college ever.
Like, nice.
Anyways, yes, continue. Your friends at UT.
So my friend's at UT, but currently I'm at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver. So Vancouver, Canada. And I love the school. I couldn't have chosen a better school for myself personally. Just everything about it has been absolutely wonderful. I couldn't have if I told my sophomore in high school self that I would be going to a Canadian university and loving it, I would laugh. But I have sincerely and deeply appreciated everything that it's given me to a full extent. But whenever I look at Vancouver, there's so much about the city that I look at and go, like, this is not where I want to spend my life, because the community of the city doesn't technically exist. Like, I don't see the community here as you're talking about it in Monterey. And that's something that I sincerely have been thinking about in terms of like what I want for my life in general, that like I want to try to capitalize on, because I see the value in it, especially coming from Massachusetts. There was a lot of community that happened, especially that was ingrained within the city. But even seeing that and being like, I'm excited to go into and build like my own properly, but build my own within one that's already structured, which here there isn't.
That's, yeah, no, that's valid. Yeah, no, I totally know what you're saying, for sure. Yeah, Monterey has a pretty awesome community. Like, so I'm, you know, working on this new whale watching company out of Moss Landing, and like the amount of people mm-hmm. that don't need to help me, that don't know me, they're like, oh, I know this person, I have this suggestion for you, like, do this, do that. Like, where they're just like, oh, let me show up and let me help you, like, you know, like my old bosses, because I worked at like a kayak shop for a bit, like sent me a list of people that they talked to, and they were like, this is what you need to do, like you need to like make these kind of marketing things to give to the hotels, you should bring people out, you should do this, you should do that. And like, same thing, like the other night I went to jazz night with a friend of mine, mm-hmm. ran into my old bosses, she introduced me to her friends, and they were like, oh, we work in this, you know, the hospitality industry, and this other guy's really big in the music industry and music scene here. And they're like, yeah, we'll help you. Like, you know, like, let's whatever. And I'm like, you get like, I don't know. You just don't get that everywhere, where like people are like, yeah, like, let's all like build each other up. And like, you know, it's pretty awesome.
So sick.
And it's I walking around, you just run into people and you're like, howdy, like, what's good? You know,
you're selling it really well, because I feel like if there is a timeline right now that spans from this exact moment where I go down to Monterey and that becomes a thing, and we're looking at this conversation as like, oh shit, this was the catalyst, because that sincerely, I'm going to be sending my resume down to a bunch of places now, because it's worth it.
Yes. Yeah. I think you should do that. I'm in full support of that. And like, yeah, you have people that will help you find something too. So,
well, yeah, and 100%. And like the thing that I'm definitely excited about with myself in person, and this this is the biggest reason, because in my head I was like, I want to spend my year in Vancouver after COVID, if only because I have a very, very, very solid community set up within the city of Vancouver. Now, the biggest quarrel that I had with myself was like, if I go anywhere else, creating that community is going to be extremely hard. Now, by that point in time, I'm planning on going home in a couple weeks to Massachusetts. And when I go to Massachusetts, I'm going to get fully vaccinated. So I'm also going to have that all set. So that means when I come back, you can hear the drunkenness in this. I love it. When I come back though, and then even more so when it goes into September and the rest of it, it is extremely possible to kind of move forward and like expand, especially into a place like Monterey, where I feel like a lot of people are starting to, I'll call it, re-enter the greater community outside of their homes and their core bubbles. You're getting me excited, Erica. Get me fucking excited. Noble, I want to talk to Dane. I want to talk to Dane so bad.
He's awesome.
He sounds like the man.
He's the man. He is the man. He's awesome. He's like, yeah. He's like so much fun to hang out with. And he's like a really nice person too. And he like likes whales. And he's really fucking funny. Like, oh my God.
Is he from Monterey?
He was born in Isla Vista, and then he lived in some small town like 2 hours from here, and then went to CSUMB, and then now does this.
What's UMB? Because I know University of California.
CSUMB. So Cal State Monterey Bay.
Cal State Monterey Bay. Okay, gotcha, 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 gotcha.
Yeah.
Interesting. So. That's so neat. I'm excited because I think the only time that I've ever gone live on my Orca Man Instagram, he showed up for a second and he was like, "Bro, just fucking jam out to Will You Be There by Michael Jackson." And I went and I sung it a little bit and we were jamming. It was like five of us in there. I think he also got Colleen.
Yes.
Yeah, Colleen showed up and we were jamming to Will You Be There by Michael Jackson. I was like, this is just great.
Colleen is pretty awesome too. She's like a really hard worker. They, like, I'm friends with all the people at Monterey Bay we all watch.
Yeah.
That's like my crew. That's who I hang out with.
So sick.
And like, her staff is really awesome. And like, that's like when I go out with another company, that's who I go out with because like, I just like, I love their, like, they have a captain named Scott who's super awesome. I love all their naturalists. And like, Colleen is like, she's pretty awesome too. She's really smart and she's one of those people I'm like, girl, how do you do as much as you do? Like,
magic.
She's really, but yeah, they have a really good team there, I would say. Like, all of their like deckhands naturalists, they're the shit.
No, that's fantastic. I'm also moving this because I was waiting for the 5% mark on my computer. So I'm about to plug it in. But more than fair. And that's the thing too that I've found is like, I feel like the Monterey, like Northern California area is very like fun loving is the only way that I can describe it.
Yes. I would say, like, from what I've heard, I would say the vibes here are better than SoCal in the whale world.
I believe that.
Yeah, what I've seen, what I've experienced, like, I've heard that, like, there's just different dynamics down south that are, I mean, not that no place is perfect, that's for sure.
Of course.
I don't want to toot my own horn, but I love working in Monterey, and, like, people here for the most part are like really respectful of the animals and like, you know, like I have my captain is like, I mean, I have two captains, but like they're like my like main captain, Mike, he like is one of the reasons why I'm like inspired to like protect the animals because or like behave differently around them because he's honestly like, he's a really good captain, like around the animals. He's like, oh, I don't want to like hang out if they're like, are too many boats or this or that, but like he like is really really respectful to the animals and like I just think that's awesome.
No, that's impressive. And that's when you look at the kind of stuff and you look at how people are affected and impact, because there's a couple things. Number one, if your captain says that to you, you internalize it, you understand it, you start to build that as a worldview. You put that on your podcast, which has an even bigger reach. Like, there is such a compound and exponential effect that happens because of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. Like, and I've worked for like a lot of places and I've seen a lot of shit. Like, you know, in Florida, I was working on an ecotourism study with bottlenose dolphin. And it was like, I saw people drive all over animals and like, you know, in Washington, I saw different things and experienced different things. And I would say for the most part, like my captains up there were like fairly good, but also like when there's just so many boats, it's hard, you know, like to do it in a way that's better, I guess. But like, I would say like everyone here is like pretty good. Like, you know, it's like this is like one place I feel like where there's not a lot of work that needs to be done. And I feel like that Monterey Bay can like, you know, like, of course, like, not every company is perfect, but, like, I think, this is the best place that I've seen so far as, like, respect for the animals. I haven't been to Hawaii, so I can't speak for, like, that, but,
Hawaii
and,
doesn't
like,
work as
fine. Sort of, like, regulations and protections that Washington does, but also, it's, like, it's not needed as much here, because we don't have, like, the endangered animals, and then also, if they formed like a coalition here, they would just have to write down all the things they already do for the most part. Maybe a couple have to change, but like nothing major.
I can see that. I can 100% see that. I'm just closing out the things on my computer right now to make sure that it doesn't fucking
die. I've been talking for like a hot minute, and I'm sure your listeners are probably like, why are they still talking?
No, they're not. Why are they still talking? Are you fucking kidding me, Erica? when I tell you that I've recently, so I knew that orca people existed in 2014. And then after that, I was like, oh my God, they exist. And I didn't think anything of it. And then years later, I began this little project at UBC and I was like, okay, this would be cool. This is fun. And I started it with people who didn't care about orcas. And then I started a TikTok and I started to meet people that were actually interested, actually knew crap. And now you and I are sitting here. I don't know when we started this. We probably started this at 8 o'clock. So we're spending like 2 hours plus. I did go pee for a little bit. So like it might be a little bit longer or a little bit shorter rather. But like, this is the difference. Right now, when you and I are talking, we're not totally invested in terms of talking about the intricacies of the science and or the conservation aspects that are happening. We're talking about our experiences that are going on. And that specifically, in my head, is what I would want to hear as a child and as like as an incoming adult, as a young adult. Because you don't see the reality of what happens. You don't understand completely that like you've bounced around so much and you came to Monterey and you're like, I'm here for a while and I enjoy it and this is why. Like it's incredibly, I haven't even been able to conceptualize life after graduation of college until this semester, which is my last semester in university. Like it's taken me this long to get to this point. So if anybody is out there before then, or even afterwards, and like understanding that you can do these kinds of things otherwise, like, but when I look at you talking about this kind of stuff, it's amazing to me to hear that from yourself, if only because you'll talk about it and be like, oh my God, like, yeah, I've only learn about X, Y, or like, I'm not an entirely sciencey person. Like I've gotten into this because of my passion properly. I don't think you understand the image that I have of breaching extinction before you contacted me. Like my perception of it was so far that I thought you were untouchable. And like, yes. And I can explain this a little bit further if you'd like sincerely.
What?
But it's because it's that, like, it's another three steps. It's so many more steps above what I imagine being able to be accessible than what it actually is. And that's the one thing that I've realized as I've gotten into this field more and more. I've talked to John Ford.
Yeah.
Personally. I've had a video call with him because of a research paper that I had to do with a professor that was very inclined into environmental history, particularly. I thought John Ford was untouchable. Uh-huh. I thought, like, in my head, when I heard that name, he was a god. He wasn't a human. He wasn't a person who, and like, and that makes a difference. And I feel like this is the same with a lot of people in terms of when they're entering into the field, the ideas. Like, I met Ingrid Visser.
Yeah.
When I first met Ingrid Visser, I sat down as if I was talking to Zeus. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. Because you don't physically understand the extent to, one, what they've done, two, like the accessibility that's available, but three, and this is speaking to breaching extinction and your work in particular, like it's when it seems so far away, your work with breaching extinction is as distant as Ingrid Visser's work, which is wild to think about. Don't that's get me so- wrong.
Because she's all the way in New Zealand and like doing all kinds of shit that I'm not doing.
And she's been doing it for ages, like multiple decades of years. And you've been doing breaching extinction for what, 2 years, a little bit plus now?
Just two, yeah.
Two is a lot. And yeah. So being able to sit down and kind of see that, it's one, humbling to kind of enter into this sphere. And two, it's something that I think I really have tried to internalize and then work with going forward, because I know the extent of impact that it has for anybody that responds. When I tell you that I like squealed when you messaged me on Instagram, like I was like, there's no way. What do you mean? Are you kidding me? They want to talk to me? Like, are you for real? Like, it was a fangirl moment. Genuinely.
Jesus. It's so weird to hear you say that. And you're the first person to describe it like that. But like Dane was like one of those people, his boyfriend was one of those people too, like where they were like having a fangirl moment. And like, I don't see myself that way. Like, I'm just like, I'm the person that talks about whales. And like, I will literally talk to anyone. Like, I will respond to every message that I get. I mean, unless I were to get like a crazy amount of followers and like, I just didn't have the time, that would be different.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, like I said, I talked to one of my listeners named Jordan for like an hour and a half, like the other day on the ride home from Tahoe. And there's so much, that's so interesting. Like, and that's such a weird thing to hear because like, especially like as someone who was like told continuously that I wouldn't make it and like,
of course,
had people like telling me, oh, you're not qualified. Like, you know, here we are, like, damn. I really appreciate that's like a serious compliment. Like, and I'm glad that we're like, you know, connected and friends now. And like, I'm glad that you're in this realm of things, but I'm just like, I feel like everybody has something valuable to offer. And like, I talk to everybody, like that's the whole point of the podcast, you know?
100%. And I can see that in terms of like, it was one of the most amazing things for me entering this realm was kind of realizing the openness of it. Like, I sincerely thought that a lot of this stuff was untouchable. Like, and like, that's a product of nothing other than the way that I personally perceptualized it. Like, that had nothing to do with the way that you were promoting it. That had nothing to do with the way that you were explaining it. It was the way that I saw it and the way that I understood it. Because anybody that's sitting at home that wonders and like, I want to get involved, I want to do X, Y, and Z, like, it... if you are genuinely interested in care, it is amazing how far that goes once you open up a conversation. And this is another thing too, when I, like, everybody in the science field that I've heard of that talks about marine biology, because that's a lot, I've seen a lot of people do, even Kendra Nelson is like explaining to people, like, it is accessible so long as you put in that little bit of effort to talk, to communicate, to connect with, because one, people are down. Like, the fact that you and I are sitting down riffing on this shit right now, like, that is beyond anything that I could have imagined when I was even 18 entering college. Yeah. Like, it's not a thought. And so seeing it come into reality and making it happen with even the smallest of interactions, it's something that people don't understand is possible.
Yes.
It doesn't take much.
I feel you on that. And like, had you told like 16-year-old me that I would be here right now, like, I would be like, you're lying, you know?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Like, you know, college me, like, or like when I was like graduating from college, like I really struggled with like finding jobs in the field because so much of what you have to do at first is unpaid. And like, I couldn't afford to do that. And like, I made it work. And it's like, to think that I like can be where I'm at now, like anybody can do it. Like, Breaching Extinction, I just made that shit up one day. I was just like, I was like this, like, cause I thought about starting a podcast for a while. And then I like, okay, so my original podcast idea, very different than what is going on now.
Fair.
Called Florida Man. And okay, where we talk about stories of like, you know, like headlines where it's like Florida Man.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it, and like, I was going to talk to those people.
That's so fun.
And then, like, I learned about the Southern Residents and I was like, okay, let's do this like 12-part series where we like dive into like what the heck is going on with these whales.
Sure.
And it's going to be a 12-part series and that's it. Okay. Here we are on like episode 70 coming out this week. Like, what?
Insane. Yeah. Absolutely insane. And it's
so, you can do it.
You can. And that's,
yes. I feel like we should wrap up, mostly because I have to be on a boat super early tomorrow.
You know what? That's so fair. It's about 10:35, so that's 100% fair. Do you want to plug Breaching Extinction? Anything else that you have right now? I'll try to catch up with anything else.
When you said you're gonna post this in like a month?
I'm gonna post this in a good while. Yeah, probably.
What? So if the It's About Damn Time campaign is still going on when this is out, please write your senators.
Keep doing it. Yeah, even so, keep writing. Yes.
Even so, even if it is there, just keep writing. And you can find more information about that on PNW Protector's Instagram page, Blackfin Coffee, my page. Mine's going to be in the highlights of my like Instagram. And then, yeah, listen to Breaching Extinction if you want to learn more about the endangered southern resident killer whales and all the complexities that come with that. So.